Have you noticed the power that bad events, bad words, bad circumstances have on our life? I played football for 4 years. The easiest memory I can recall from football is the time that I dropped the pass in the end zone as time expired and we actually lost the game. I'm sure I did some good things during my 4 years of football, but the easiest thing to remember is that moment right there. You know what it's like? You hear 10 good words spoken to you in a day, and then somebody says something that's hurtful to you. And which do you remember when you go home at night? There is a weight and there is a gravity to bad events, to bad words, to evil, to hurt, to pain, to loss. There's a gravity that just wants to pull us. It is strong. And we experience that. And we see, as we read about that first resurrection Sunday, we see that the disciples and the women and everybody else, they understood that as well, because there was a pull to bad news for them as well. And so let's listen to the story this morning. And now, setting this up, they've crucified Jesus. Joseph was a wealthy man. He comes and he gets the body of Jesus and he places him in the tomb. And there's some women there who have been disciples of Jesus, following around, who are watching all this happen. And so we're in Luke chapter 23, verse 55. It says, the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. All right, these women had been followers of Jesus all the way from Galilee. They were part of the Jesus crew for those 3 years of his ministry. They had hung out with him. They had seen all the things that Jesus had done. They had listened to his teaching as he taught the 12 disciples. They had been there for the entire ministry thing. They see Jesus crucified. They see him placed in the tomb. And then they go home, having watched this, and they get spices ready to put on his body, because they believed that Jesus was going to stay dead. And so they did what you always do if you want to honor somebody, because they believed that his body would soon begin to rot and stink. And so they were going to go home and get some spices and come and put back on the body to kind of cover over the rot and stink that they believed was about to happen. Now, notice something that did not happen among these women. None of them apparently said, hey guys, not necessary. Watch this. It's going to be cool. Grab some popcorn. Let's put up some seats. This is going to be epic. You know, watch what's about to happen. Not a single one of them apparently did that. None of them were looking for Jesus to get up again from the grave, even though he had told them that's what he was going to do over and over again. Jesus had told them he was going to suffer, be crucified, and rise from the dead. Luke chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus said this very thing, and he said to them, the Son of Man must suffer many things. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed, and on the third day, raised to life. Jesus had told them this multiple times. They had witnessed the miracles. They had heard Jesus teaching. They had seen him demonstrate his power. They had heard from the disciples about how he had walked on water. They knew about the raising of Lazarus. And yet none of them seemed to comprehend that what was happening was the very thing that Jesus told them was going to happen. None of them believe he's actually going to be raised again. That Jesus would be resurrected seems hard to believe. That the Romans could kill him, that evil and death could win, seemed like for them that was easy to believe compared to believing the things that Jesus had actually told them were actually going to happen. So let's keep reading. Chapter Luke 24, verse 1. So on the first day of the week, the women go to do what they had prepared to do. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, the women show up at the tomb, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and what do the women do? Man, this is really odd. We saw them put the body in here, and now it's gone. And we can't fathom what happened. It's a mystery. Nobody seems to have said, hey guys, remember what he told us? Nobody says it. Look what happens next. Beginning verse 4. While they were wondering, they can't figure this out about this. Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. What did it take for the women to remember his words? It wasn't an empty tomb. It wasn't the linen lying there. Wasn't the stone rolled away. You know what it took for them to remember? Was for two angels who are gleaming like lightning. I mean, they can't, suddenly they're standing there. They're gleaming like lightning. And the women still don't get it until the angels say to them, don't you remember what he said? They have to tell the women. This is what they don't get it till the angels gleaming like lightning. Say, you remember? He said this. You see how hard it was for them to believe and to remember and to recall the promises of Jesus and the words of Jesus in the midst of their grief and their pain and their hurt. It was tough. They seemed to very easily believe that he was dead. What they had a hard time believing was actually that he did the thing that he was going to do. And so the women, now convinced about the good news of Jesus, they run to tell the 11 disciples now. They run to tell the 11 disciples. And when they get to the 11 disciples, they say, here, hey, Jesus is alive. We saw an angel. He's resurrected. And the disciples hear this and they jump up and down and they all begin to start celebrating. Jesus is alive, just like he told us. And they're happy and they throw a party. Unless you actually read a story, none of that happens. All right. The women go to the disciples to tell them what has happened. And let's hear what happens in that moment, beginning in verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, that's the women, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Nonsense. They can't believe it. It is not even in the realm of possible. It's just some hysterical women. And they say, here's what happened. Here's what we saw. And the disciples, man, they can't even begin to believe this. They can't remember. Man, all the things Jesus did, all the promises he spoke, he told them what was going to happen. But in this moment, in their hurt and in their pain, in their grief, they can't see it. Peter at least is curious about what happened. So listen to what happens in verse 12. It says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself, what could have happened here? Peter runs to the tomb to see it for himself. He's like, man, this is really confusing. Got no idea what could have happened. And he goes away scratching his head. Luke then tells us about two guys. They were followers of Jesus. They weren't with the main 12, but they were also disciples of Jesus. And they're walking on the road to Emmaus. They're leaving Jerusalem. Jesus has been crucified. And they're talking about the fact that Jesus was crucified. And Jesus walks up and joins them. And he begins to walk with them. And as he walks with them, he says, what are you guys up to? And they said, well, we're leaving Jerusalem. We thought Jesus was the Messiah, but they killed him and now he's dead. And Jesus opens up the Old Testament to them. And he tells them how the prophets and everybody spoke about the fact that the Messiah would have to suffer, be killed, and rise again. And they still don't recognize him. Have y'all ever been someplace and you saw somebody out of place and you did not recognize them? I probably ignored half of y'all in Walmart because you're not where you're supposed to be, right? Jesus was supposed to be dead. He's dead. So even though he's walking with them and talking with him, they can't recognize him because they believe he's dead. They can't believe he did the very things that he said he would do. And it's not until Jesus sits down to have a meal with them and he takes the bread and he breaks it and he says to them, guys, this is my body that was broken for you. And in the breaking of the bread, in that moment, suddenly their eyes are open and they recognize that it's Jesus. Super stoked about this. They just ate with Jesus. They run to go tell the disciples what's going on, right? And everything that they've seen. And of course, you know, you won't be surprised now what happens in this moment. It says, verse 36 of Luke 24, says, while they were still talking about this, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they're talking to all the disciples about the fact they just ate with Jesus and they saw him on the way. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and he said, peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. They still don't believe it's Jesus. It is easier to believe that there is a ghost haunting them in that room right now than to believe that Jesus actually did the very thing that Jesus said he was going to do. They still don't believe it's happening in this moment right here. And so at verse 38, it says, so Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. He said, come on, guys. Look right here. See the scars. And yet the scripture says, and while they still did not believe, because of joy and amazement. Now they're just kind of freaked out in this moment right here. They don't know what to believe in this moment. They still couldn't believe. Jesus says to them, because they still don't believe, Jesus says to them, do you guys have anything to eat? And they say, yeah, we got some broiled fish over here. He says, well, give me that piece of broiled fish. And Jesus eats a piece of fish. Why does Jesus eat the piece of fish in front of them? Because everybody knows that ghosts don't eat real food. And because they still don't believe, Jesus takes the piece of fish and he eats it. And they're like, okay, I guess it's Jesus. How hard was it for them to believe on that first resurrection Sunday? These are people who had walked with him, talked with him. They had actually witnessed the miracles that he had done. And yet they had an easier time believing in the Roman victory and the religious leaders being able to put Jesus to death than they had in believing the words that Jesus said that he was unstoppable. It seems like to hear the truth of the good news in the midst of grief and hurt and pain and loss and brokenness can be a really difficult thing. But before we mock their foolishness and call them cotton-headed Denny Muggins for the Elf fans, let's ask ourselves a question. Is it easy for us to, is it easier for us to believe in death than life? In our hurt, in our pain, in our grief, is it easier to believe in loss than to remember the promises of God? When the boss comes in and you're out of a job, is it easier to believe in death or life? When the doctor comes in and he gives you a diagnosis that you don't want to hear, is it easy to remember the promises of God and the good news that your story is going to end in joy and celebration? When you've been betrayed and you're hurt and rejected, is it easy to remember that the story ends in life? When you've messed up and you're broken and you're ashamed, is it easier to believe in unredeemable loss or to remember the words of Jesus that he's going to turn it around and it's all going to end in victory? There is a powerful gravity to death. There is a pull to loss. And it is easy to believe in failure. There's a gravity to that. It's easy to believe in unredeemable loss. Man, there's a pull to these kinds of things. It's not hard to believe that evil wins, that failure and defeat are final. Man, those kinds of things are easy. And whenever we experience the hurt and the pain and the brokenness and the rejection and the injustice of this world, it's easy to forget all the things that Jesus said. It's easy to forget all the demonstrations of Jesus's power. It's easy to forget that for those of us who trust him, our story ends in victory and praise. And though the one who is able to do more than we could ever even ask or imagine is present with us who are in Christ, and nothing will ever separate us from his presence, he is with us, able to do more than we ask or imagine, prepared to turn our story around and to turn our Good Friday into Resurrection Sunday. It is oftentimes hard to remember. It's easy to believe in loss and pain and hurt. And it's hard to remember the truth that Christ is risen. Evil is defeated, and that hurt and pain and loss and rejection, those things are temporary. They last for a moment, but for those who are in Christ and who trust Jesus, our story ends in celebration. It ends in joy. It ends in life. You guys didn't get to see it, but our youth painted some chalk work on our, it rained it all away, but I loved it. I didn't tell them what to write, but here's one that they one of the things they did on the sidewalk. It will be good again. Somebody needs to hear that. It will be good again, not because of what you can do, not because the world is nice, but because of who he is. One day, it will be good again. Here's another one I took a picture of before it washed away. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Remember what he said. It will be good again. And this is why, for those of us who trust Jesus, man, we need these moments right here. We need these moments of celebration, not just today, but every Sunday. We gather together because for us, every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And we need to be reminded again and again of what is true in a world that's more comfortable with death than life. We need to come together again and again and again and remember the story and the promises and the power of Jesus when the world and life has such a gravity to evil and death and loss. And so I believe that God has brought some folks here this morning. As I was just thinking and praying about this week, that there's some people here this morning. And this word is for you. It's for you. Because you're in a spot where it's hard to remember the promise. And it's easy to believe there's unredeemable loss. You messed up. You didn't ever think you would do that, but you did. And now you're embarrassed and ashamed because you thought you were better than that. And now it's hard to believe that the story ever gets flipped around. And it is easy to believe that you're going to live in shame and loss and brokenness the rest of your life. And it's hard to believe that there is life and victory that's going to come to Jesus. You've laid somebody you love in the ground. And you're existing, but life is dull and tasteless. And it's hard to believe that it will ever be anything different than it is right now. And it is easy to believe in loss. It's easy to believe in death. It's easy to believe in pain. It's hard to remember the promises and the power of God to turn it all around. You've been rejected and you've been hurt. You've been betrayed and your heart's slowly growing cold and you're just giving into this and you just think this is just what it is. And it's easy to believe that you will never trust again. And that you're just going to live in the cold and the brokenness that you put around yourself to protect yourself. And it's hard to remember the words that Jesus said and to believe that he can actually turn it around again. I just believe there are people here this morning. And it's hard to hear. And it's hard to remember. There's this powerful gravity that wants to pull you in. And Jesus loves you so much that he brought you here this morning so you could remember what's true. And I want to pray for you in a moment, because what we all need is not just information and words. What we need is a revelation of truth that comes from Jesus, who is alive among us. And what I want to pray for you is a revelation from Jesus this morning that comes from him. Because what it took for the disciples, what it took for the women, what it took for the guys on the road to Emmaus was not just somebody saying some words. It was an encounter with Jesus, and he is alive. And he is moving among us today. And I just want to invite you to be open to that this morning as I pray for you. If you're in that place where it's hard to believe and hard to remember, just be open. Because we believe that whenever somebody comes to believe the truth about Jesus and the resurrection, that it's always a miracle. It's not just because somebody said something. It's a miracle that the Holy Spirit brings about in your heart. And I want to pray that you experience Jesus speaking words of life to you again today, because you're not at the end of the story. You're still in the middle. And don't give up till the story's finally written, because when the story's finally written, for those who are in Christ, it ends in praise, it ends in joy, and it ends in life and resurrection. And those of us who come to believe this down in our soul, it changes the way that we live, it changes the way that we encounter life, and it changes the way we witness to the world of who Jesus is. As they wonder about our joy, and they wonder about our peace, they wonder about our transparency, where we can say, I messed up, but Jesus is gathering it all together, and he's gonna turn it all around for his good. Let me pray this morning that God would just give us a fresh revelation of the truth of what we're celebrating this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. And Father, we confess to you that it is so easy to believe in loss. It is so easy to believe that we will live in a shame that we'll never be able to get rid of. It's easy to believe that our failure is final. Lord, it's easy to believe that life will never have color again, that there won't be joy again. There's a gravity to all these things, but Lord, you are. And we're gathered here this morning, Father, celebrating the foundation of our faith, that Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ is gonna come again. And when the end of the story is written, all things are good. Life, beauty, joy, order. Lord, those things are going to be the final things. The hurt, the pain, the loss, the rejection, the brokenness, those things are temporary and they're going to pass away. And so, Lord, we trust you. Father, I know that what we need more than anything else is not words. What we need is a fresh encounter with you. So, Father, I'm praying for that encounter right now for those who are in this room who are struggling to remember and believe what you said. Lord, and they maybe they believe it in general, but for their specific situation. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak their name to them. I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a fresh way this morning. Lord, what I'm unable to do is not impossible for you. So Lord, speak a word of comfort, a word of grace, and a word of life as only you can. Lord, so that we know that you are alive and that changes everything. God, we thank you for the privilege of living as those who have come to believe in the depths of our soul that you're able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine, and you're going to turn it all around. We believe. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.